All right. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start 1 minute early because I need that minute. And not a lot of people care about this slide anyways. So my name is Brian Lagunas, and I am a technical fellow at Infragistics. I do a lot with the mobile platforms, and WPF has really been the heart of my career for a long time. Email me anytime with any questions you have at blagunas@infragistics.com. I blog about really geeky stuff at brianlagunas.com. And of course, the easiest way to reach me is on Twitter, at Brian Lagunas. There's a theme there. I'm not sure if you're getting it, but there's a theme there. Okay, so you're joining me today because you want to make your life easier writing MVVM-style apps with Xamarin Forms, because right now it's a pain in the butt, right? We got a lot of static stuff. We got a lot of static classes to deal with. We have dependencies on page classes. It's just not optimal for MVVM apps. So I'm going to talk to you today about Prism and how you can utilize Prism to help alleviate this and actually write a 100% MVVM-friendly app. Okay, so what is Prism? Why do I care? Why did you come to this session? Well, actually, Prism's been around a very long time. It's a XAML application framework born back in about 2008 from WPF land. That's where it got its start. And of course, it had some Windows Phone and some Windows 8 versions, and now recently it's for Xamarin Forms. But it's mainly guidance. You know, it's always had a reputation for being an MVVM framework. It was never an MVVM framework. Heck, it didn't even have a ViewModel base class in the very beginning. And heck, actually, for WPF, it still doesn't have a ViewModel base class. Okay, but it's about guidance, using patterns and practices that you should be using already. Right? Design patterns, principles, all this stuff to write apps so that they're testable, maintainable, scalable, easy to deploy. Everything we dream of when we write an app. Not the big, you know, 1,000-line code behind WinForm app. We don't like those. It's open source, which is awesome. You just go to github.com/prismlibrary, and you can get to the repo, fork it, add features, pull requests, whatever you want. Also, it's part of the .NET Foundation. So I don't know if you guys watch a lot of the Build information, but at Build, they announced a lot of companies that are joining the .NET Foundation. Well, Prism's been there. Okay, so what do you get with Prism? What does Prism actually do for me? Well, MVVM support, okay, that's kind of a canned term. We have commanding, we have messaging, navigation, a page dialog service for showing display alerts and action sheets, logging, and dependency injection. Now I know what you're thinking. You say, Brian, man, I see like messaging and commanding. Xamarin Forms has that stuff. Yeah, but we do it better, okay? Dependency injection, I wanna make a note on this. So dependency injection is a term or concept that not a lot of people are familiar with, but it makes your life a lot easier writing apps. Who's heard of inversion of control? Beautiful, I don't have to explain it. Okay, so inversion of control, the way Prism achieves inversion of control is with a dependency injection container. You can use whatever container you want. I'm gonna be showing Unity, but you can use Ninject, TinyIOC, Structure Map, whatever you want, doesn't matter. The choice is up to you. Okay, so I have 45 minutes to highlight some of the stuff that's gonna make your life easier with Prism. So I chose MVVM, commanding, messaging, and navigation. Okay, so that's what we're gonna get in less than 45 minutes. So I'm gonna talk fast, but just cram information down your throats, okay? So where do I get Prism? Well, there's three packages you care about. It's on NuGet. The first one is prism.core. That is a PCL that has like the commanding infrastructure in it. It's got the eventing infrastructure in it. We have prism.forms. That is Xamarin Forms specific. Okay, that has all the navigation and dialog service stuff in it. And then we have our container, what we're using to resolve our types. Okay, in this case, prism.unity.forms. In the future, there will be more. If yours isn't up here, add it and submit a PR. Okay, so let's get started. MVVM support, man. It's been how many years we're still talking about MVVM, but it's that cool. And we all know what it is, so I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on it. It's just a design pattern, that's all it is. There's nothing else to it. A design pattern is just a name we give something that we do every day. That way, when I'm talking to you about how I'm writing my app, and you're talking to me about how you're writing your app, we can have a conversation and understand what we're talking about. That's all it does. Okay, so when you're doing NVVM, the most difficult choice you're going to have to make is how in the heck do I take this view, and I have this view model, and all I have to do is I have to create this connection to set that binding context to an instance of your view model. That's it. That's NVVM. You're done. You just had a crash course in NVVM. All the other stuff like commanding and messaging and navigation, those are problems that you'll have no matter what type of app you write. Code behind, you still got to solve that. That's not specific to NVVM. This is NVVM. Now, how do you make that connection is up to you. Now, Prism is going to provide you a way that we think you should do it because it's pretty cool. You can do it in code behind if you want. There's some view model locators out there. Do it in XAML. And actually, Prism relies on a view model locator. But it's different than probably the view model locator you're used to. And most of the time, a view model locator is like a static class. And then every time you want to create a view, you got to add a view model, then you got to open up that class, add another property. That's a real pain in the butt. We don't want to do that. And it goes against the open-close principle. So what Prism does is it provides an attached property. You just add it to the view, and then you set that attached property true, auto-wire view model. Once that's the true, Prism is going to go, oh, I know what you want to do. And based on a convention that says, hey, your views have to be in a views namespace, your view models have to be in a view models namespace, and your view model name will be the name of your view plus view model. So if my view name was main page, then my view model name will be main page view model. Pretty easy. And don't worry, you can change the convention. You're not locked down to this. So it takes this convention and it will automatically, using your container, create the view model, set the binding context of your view, and you're ready to rock and roll. You don't have to do anything with opening or modifying classes, okay? So this is what it looks like. You just add your namespace, and then you set the property. So let's go ahead and do that. I have a sample here we're gonna be working on throughout this. This is a basic Xamarin Forms app. I've already added the NuGet packages because you do not wanna watch that come down. So I have a main page. Let's take a quick look at this. We see that my main page exists in a views folder because that's the default convention. I got some properties on here we're not gonna worry about right now. What I care about is, for one, I need to create a view model, and then we need to hook it up. So let's go create a view model. So I'm going to go ahead and add a new item because I want to show another thing. So we have templates, project templates, and item templates for Xamarin Forms. So in this case, I'm going to create a new Prism view model. Okay, so basically just make our lives a little easier. Now, my page name is main page. What's the name of my view model? Main page view model. Just don't fat finger it. All right, so all this is, it's a class that derives from bindable base. In all bindable bases, it's a class that implements iNotify property change. That's all it does. Okay, so I know I need to add a title. Besides item templates, the Prism template pack on the Visual Studio Gallery, that's where you get it, also has snippets. So I can say prop P, right? We'll add a string. We'll call it title. Makes our lives easier. And we'll say main page. Perfect. Okay, so let's go back to our main page here. Now we want to make that connection with the view model locator. XML and S. Say prism equals CLR namespace. That's prism.mvvm. Assembly equals prism.forms. Now, if you had ReSharper, it would do it automatically, but who needs ReSharper when you can just do it by hand, right? So, Prism, view model, locator, dot auto wire, view model equals true. Okay, did I spell everything right? If not, we're gonna find out real quick. Okay, so I'm just gonna launch this to my emulator. And of course, I'm only gonna be showing Android for a couple reasons. One, I'm on a Mac, and no one really cares about Windows phones, so we'll just show this right here. Okay, so as you can see, we have our label bound to the title. We added the title property to our view model and set it to main page. There's main page. So our view model was created just like that. And anytime I want to add a new view, I don't have to modify any classes at all. I just add a new view. So for example, I want to add another content page. New item, I'm going to use the Visual Studio Gallery Prism Template Pack. We'll add a content page. I'll just add it, and you can see it's already there for me. I don't even have to write that anymore. Okay? Boom, done with that. Okay, so besides that, we have commanding. Now, I know. Commanding. Everyone, Xamarin Forms has a command. We all know what commands are. Now, Prism is called a delegate command. And actually, let's just get out of slides. We don't care about slides. Let's just go into code. So I see that this view has an isActive property and a navigate command. So let's just go ahead and create some of these. Let's go ahead and create that isActive. So I'll go prop p. That's a Boolean. isActive. Perfect. Let's set this to false, actually. All right, now we need a property for our command. cmd navigate command. So a delegate command is no different than like an MVVM like relay command or the command in Xamarin Forms. So, but there are some features that you get that you don't get with the other commands. So we'll say navigate command equals new delegate command navigate. And then can navigate, if I can spell. And we'll stub these methods out here and there. Okay, so everyone knows, or should know, that with a command you have an execute and can execute. The can execute says, am I allowed to invoke this command? Yes or no? If no, the UI element will be disabled automatically. Right, so in this case, I'm just gonna return our isActive. And then we're not going to do anything with the actual implementation yet. So right now, if you were to run this, we're going to have a little issue. We set isActive to false by default. So when I toggle this and go to true, well, crap, my button's still disabled. But I'm returning true. I should be able to invoke that command. The issue there is that the view needs to refresh the state. It needs to recheck the state as, hey, I need to look at this can navigate or this can execute method. Am I allowed to be enabled now? Can I invoke this command, yes or no? Now, with most commands, you have to do something like this. So we'll go to set property. It'll say like navigate command, raise can execute change. You basically have to manually tell your app or the view that, hey, I changed, go ahead and recheck the can execute state. That way you can update the state of the button, just like that. Well, that's cool, that's pretty cool, but I don't like that. I don't like having code in my setters if it doesn't have to be there. It's just a pain. What would be nice is to say, you know what, command, what would be great is if you just know about this property and you just kind of handle that for me. You know, just whenever this changes, you let me know, okay? So we added a feature called observes property. Whoops. Is active. So now we're gonna get the same result, but we got this nice little Fluent API that's gonna handle all that code for us, all that notification stuff. What, no clap on that? Are you kidding me? That's awesome, man. Our code just got so much cleaner. Okay, now I know that was cool. I know it. I wrote it, I know it, right? But here's the thing, I was thinking, you know what would be better? It's like, I look at this can navigate, I'm like, all I'm doing is returning a Boolean value. What would be really great is let's just say, you know what, I don't want to use a delegate method for this. What would be awesome is if I can just say, I want to observe the can execute. So not only do I want to modify, or excuse me, respond to the change, value changes of the property. I want to use that actual result as the delegate, right? Well, that would be cool. Let's see it in action. So I removed an entire delegate method from my view model. Same result. Thank you. That's extremely awesome. I mean, you guys write commands all day. I mean, that's a time saver, right? And just so you know, I don't know if I pointed it out, but if you do observes property, you can keep going and observes property all you want. So observe as many properties as you want. Okay, so where are we at on slides? All right, and of course we have a delegate command of T, which allows you to pass in a string of some, or any type of parameter, really. In this case, in this example, it's a string. That's no different. But we also have a delegate command from async handler. So if you ever needed to invoke an execute command, you know, an execute delegate method asynchronously, well, we have a from async handler where you can just return a task in your execute. And it's for, delegate of T as well. Nice little helpful thing. And then we talked about raise can execute changed, which you don't have to use anymore because you have observes property and observes can execute. All right. Now this is like the meat of Prism. You guys, just go ahead and get towels out of your bags because you're going to need it to clean your brains up off the floor because all these minds are just going to be spewing everywhere. Okay. Now, one thing to realize about navigation is completely different than Xamarin Forms application. A Xamarin Forms application navigation, you know, everything depends on a page. You can't have this global navigation service. You just can't do it. It depends on a page instance or will not work right. So Prism provides a better way to navigate. And it does this by implementing a service which gives you completely decoupled navigation in your view model. No page references, no view model references. Now I know what you're saying, but Brian, I really like navigating the view models. Yeah, well, I don't. And the reason is because I don't like that coupling either, especially if I have one view model in one project and I have another view model in another project and I want to navigate to that view up there, but they don't have a reference to each other. How do you do that? You can do that in Prism, okay? Because I don't have to have a class, instance, reference, type reference in my navigation service in order for that to work. Well, how does it work? Well, it's based on URIs, okay? Yes, this means strings. A lot of people don't like magic strings. I'm one of those people. I really despise magic strings. So you can use constants, class types, things like that. But essentially, they're URIs. Now, there's two types of URIs. There's a relative, and there's an absolute. A relative is the default behavior of navigation, and it's always relative to where you're calling navigate from. So if I'm on a master detail page, and I call navigate from the master detail view model, well, then I'm navigating to that details, to the detail page of that. If I'm on a content page, and I navigate, I'm navigating from that content page to another page, to a different target. Does that make sense? You're always relative to where you're calling it, that's where you're gonna go. Then you have absolute. No matter how deep you are in your navigation stack, if you ever provide an absolute URI, you essentially wipe out and replace application.current.mainpage to this new URI. Okay, so think of like a login. You're somewhere in a login, someone logs in. Instead of having to worry about popping to root, doing all this crazy stuff, just replace your whole, just do an absolute and just replace the whole stack. Done. One thing to get this to work is you have to register your pages for navigation. We have to create a mapping between that string, right, and the type. And we'll see that. And then this all happens in one service called iNavigation Service. This is it. You have two methods, navigate and go back. That's all there is. There's no remove at index, none of that. It's just all about conceptually navigating through the app, a flow like your user would go through, okay? So it's navigate and go back. And actually, I'm thinking about renaming navigate, but I don't have time to talk about that because it's an async method. I should probably call it navigate async. What do you think? Okay, someone submit a PR today so I can get that changed. Okay, so navigation. First, you have to register your type. Then you can navigate. You know what? Once again, let's get out of slides and let's just get right into it. Okay, so I actually need some views to navigate to from here. So I have a couple of views already ready for me. We don't want to peek. We don't want to peek. No peeking. Now, I know this is going to give me an error because for some reason, a Xamarin Forms application does not like it when you include an existing file, a XAML file, into your project. So I'm going to go ahead and build this, get my build error. Yep, see, didn't work. So I'm going to go ahead, delete. But it's no problem because I have the template pack installed. So I'll just create a new content page. That was view A. And then I'll just paste in the stuff I care about. And then we'll bring out view B. Delete this one. And we'll go ahead and use the template pack. Okay, done. Man, templates are nice. Okay, so I have these views. I want to navigate. I want to start using our navigation system. Well, that means I have to change from a normal Xamarin Forms app to a Prism application. Now remember, I've already added all the NuGets required, so all I have to do is change this to Prism app, and now remove this and implement two abstract members. Uninitialized, which is called when the app is done with, you know, registering all the services with the container and getting everything ready for you, and then register types. Now, when you want to register to a view, you have to register that view for navigation. And to do that, there's going to always be, no matter what container you use, there's always going to be an extension method called the register type for navigation of T. T is the page type. Now, what I just did here is I just created a mapping to the main page type to a key, navigation service.navigate, main page, and it is case sensitive. So now, anytime I want to navigate to that main page in my app anywhere, I just have to call navigate and pass in main page. Of course, I can change that. If I just wanted MP, right, I could just put that in and now that becomes MP. Clear? Okay. Oh, don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to the clapping, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and just copy and paste this out. And we'll replace this because I know I have view A in here and I know I have view B. Okay, so let's go to our main page view model. So we have this navigation, this navigate command. Now, what I need is the I navigation service. Notice I'm not newing this up anywhere. You'll never see me say new main page view model, pass in new navigation service. You'll never see that in a Prism app because we use inversion of control. Of course, I got to store this off, because I'm going to use it. Now, I will, this is a caveat. This is the only caveat that I don't like about this Prism implementation. But it's a limitation of a container, navigation service. When you want to call the iNavigation service, when you request that in your constructor, the parameter name must be navigation service. Must be. And that's because Xamarin Forms requires the page instance, right, for navigation to work properly. So what happens is in the view model locator, we do some magic that says, oh, I know the view model that I need to create. I have the page, so I'm going to go ahead and set the page on that navigation service to the correct instance, and then when you call for it, I'm going to parameter override the constructor on the view model. Make sense? So that's why it's a limitation of containers. You can't override parameters by type. It has to be by name. So navigation service, that's the only limitation with Prism on dependency injection is that. And it's a little annoying. I don't like it. I was thinking about maybe an interface like iNavigation service aware and doing that instead. But even I don't like that either because you're still hiding dependencies. Anyways, different talk. Okay, so all I have to do now is say navigation service Thought, navigate, main page. Oop, nope, not main page. We want to go view A, because we already registered that. And if we look at view A, this is already stubbed out. We want to go to view B, so we'll say navigation service, navigate, view B. And while we're at view B, how about we do a little go back, right? So we'll say navigation service dot go back. So we're just going to go back to the previous page that was in the stack. All right. Let that boot up there. So the first one should be main page. Great. It didn't behave any different, but we removed the whole main page equals new main page. That's all gone. We're using Prism Navigation now. So now I'll go ahead, navigate to view A. Well, there we go. You'll see we have parameter. Yeah, just wait. And then navigate to view B. We're at view B, and we'll go back to view A. We went back. Pretty cool, right? Now keep in mind, you're like, that's cool. You're navigating around. But look, we have a simple interface that can mock in our test. We are 100% testable now. 100% testable within a view model. No more code behind, navigation at push async, pop async, none of that stuff, right? 100% testable. And that's the whole goal. All right, so you already kind of got a sneak peek of the parameter we had. So you're like, okay, Brian, that's pretty cool and all, right? But I have state in this view model. And when I navigate to the next view model, I need to pass that state with it. How in the heck do I do that? I'm glad you asked. All right, so let's go to view A view model, and let's say that we're going to pass that parameter. All I need to do is create what's called a new navigation parameters object. All this is a dictionary of types, of values, object values. So we'll add, we'll call it ID, and then the value, I think I named that property value. Yeah, we named it value. And then I can just pass it in as a parameter. There we go. Okay, well, my target is view B, so let's go to view B, or view model, view B view model. How in the heck do I get that state from that view model in this view model, even though they don't know about each other, and I'm using strings to navigate around? Well, let me introduce you to iNavigationAware. A beautiful, handy little interface with just two simple methods on it. OnNavigated to, OnNavigated from. So when I navigate to a view model, guess which one's going to be invoked? OnNavigated to. And when I navigate away from this view model, which one's going to be invoked? God, you guys are geniuses. This is awesome. Okay, so we're navigating to view B. So I'm going to go, hey, you know what? If the parameters contains the key ID, then let's go ahead and set the title of this to parameters index ID. Now you have to cast it because you can pass any object you want, so you kind of have to know your data type. Okay, so this looks good. This is view B. We're passing. Let's go ahead and run it. And here we go. Let's turn on navigation. Okay, so we'll just type and I get view B. Boom, parameter, right? Like, okay. That's cool and all. But there's more to parameters than just this. Maybe I don't want to create a navigation parameters object. What would be really cool is, you know, Brian, I deal a lot with like dynamic string generation and URIs. Can I just go like ID equals hello world? Can I just do that? Can I just use Why, yes, you can. Yeah, use a URI query string. I don't care. Pass it right along to the view or with the view. So it doesn't matter what this says because we hard-coded it to hello world, and I misspelled hello. That's okay. We're live demo here. Okay. Not only that, if I decided to have another value here, and maybe this was called like ID2 or whatever, whatever you called it, it will actually put them together. It would create one navigation. It would take your navigation parameters, it'd take your query string, parse all that out, and pass them as one to the unnavigated two. That's pretty freaking cool. Okay. Now, one more thing. You can also pass in your query string here and not even do the add, right? So lots of options here, lots of flexibility. And yes, you can also pass parameters with go back. So I'm on a page. Holy cow, 15 minutes? All right, we're going to speed up. So we can go back, pass parameters. Beautiful. All right, so let's skip over some stuff because it's not that important. Right, we don't care about all this. We went over navigation. We went over passing parameters. We've talked about iNavigation Aware. There's another one called iConfirm Navigation and iConfirm Navigation Async, which says, hey, am I even allowed to navigate away from this thing? Yes or no? Maybe you show a dialogue and you capture input. Must save, right? Must save before going or something like that. You can do that using those interfaces. Okay, this is probably my favorite. This is my favorite. So before the keynote, Prism had this, deep linking. Yeah, Brian, that navigation is cool and all, but what if I have a master detail and I want the detail to be a navigation page, and in that navigation page, I want to push a view A, and in that view A, after that, I want a view B. Something like this, pop, 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 pop. All in one go. Yeah, we can do that. No problemo. All right. So let's go ahead and check this demo out. Let's open up the app. Here we go. My master detail, my navigation page, my view A. Now this, oops, not main page. My master detail here already has some views, some navigation items, right? Where we have some more command parameters. These are basically our URI strings. So I'm going to go ahead and run this. And so what we're going to expect to see happen is we're going to go to a view B, or view A, did I go view A? Yeah, view A, sorry, view A. Sorry there. And then, like, I can just, boop, switch there. My master detail works as expected because I'm navigating from the master detail, so I'm replacing the detail. Now, that's cool and all, Brian, but I really got something for you. I really got a complicated scenario. Let's say I want view A, view B, view C, my tabbed page, select view B inside that tab page, then go master detail, then my navigation page, then main page. Can you do that for me, please? And get all that right? Yeah, I think I can handle that. Bam! Now, keep in mind where I'm at right now. I'm on this last master detail, right here, with my detail page is now a navigation page with a main page inside of it. That means I can still navigate independently here. The second I go back, it's going to be a tab page with view B selected. Boom, tab page, view B selected. If view B did not exist in this tab, it would create it and would be the next one in the stack. Okay? And of course, view C, view B, back to view A. This is in a navigation page. I'm back to main page. Boom! I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, right? I was like, I'm personally excited about that because nothing else does that. Now, at the keynote, they talked about the app linking, the app deep linking. This is where it was born, right here. This was the birth of that feature. I worked really closely with Josh on the Xamarin Forms, Jason on the Xamarin Forms team, and we made it happen. So as soon as they publicly release their bits, I'm going to support their app link stuff, and it's going to be beautiful. Okay, so I got time for one more feature, which I think is pretty cool, so let me just close this out. What's next in the list? Oh, I want to mention something. So I talked about deep linking, but you're like, Brian, that's amazing. Like, I only have like a quarter of my brain left because it's all on the floor, but with this quarter of the brain I have left, I have one more question. What about parameters? No problem. Each individual segment can have its own parameter query string passed to it. So on master detail, I can pass an ID of 2. Only that page gets it. For view A, I can pass customer name of Brian. Only that page gets it. And for sort, for view B, sort order ascending, only view B gets it. And you can have as many as you want. You're not limited, right? I mean, come on. That makes me want to pick my brains up off the floor. Like, that's just amazing, okay? So the last thing that I have time to show is messaging. Now, I know, okay, so first, messaging. What's messaging? Messaging isn't like a commanding. That's different. I'm talking about something happened over here in my app, and I need to let all these things know about it, okay? Now, I know that Xamarin Forms has the messaging center, but it's static. I don't like it. It's static. I can't test it. It's a pain in the butt. What I like is iEvent Aggregator. It's a loosely coupled event-based communication system, okay? It's a pub-sub type system. You have multiple publishers and multiple subscribers. And you can pass payloads or parameters along with this event. Not only that, you can filter events. So you have multiple subscribers to this event. Well, maybe this subscriber over here, he's listening for this event, but only cares about this event if the ID is 3 in the payload, right? Whatever the correct criteria is, you can filter that. And of course, there are weak events. You don't have to worry about unsubscribing and managing all your memory. It's handled for you. You don't worry about memory leaks. We got you covered. Okay, using iEvent Aggregator is simple. First, you need a strongly typed event. Like in this case, saved event. It derives from pub sub event of T. T is your payload, okay? You need a publisher. You would just basically call, hey, event aggregator, get me the event, saved event, and then publish, and then pass your payload. In this case, I'm passing some person instance. Then you need a subscriber, right? iEvent aggregator, get the event I care about, subscribe to this event, and provide a delegate. And anytime that event is invoked and you receive that, that code will be invoked and will get the parameter passed with the event. All right. So let's just go ahead and code one up right quick. I got 8 minutes, I can do it. All right, so let's go ahead, we'll add a new folder, event. Go ahead and add a new class, my event. We'll say pub sub event of T, we'll just make it a string, not a string. And I like to make these public, but you don't have to. Okay, so we have our event, perfect. Now we need a publisher. So who's going to publish? How about view B? He's at the end. So let's go to our constructor, and I'm just going to ask for it. I event aggregator EA. And I'm going to just copy this out and paste it, because we're going to need to store this off. Whoops. So let's grab that. And then how about when we hit go back, we send a message. Whoops. Okay, so we're gonna say, hey, event aggregator, get the event called my event. And once you get it, let's publish something. And hello, that'll work. Okay, now we need a subscriber. How about main page? He's at the beginning. So find my constructor. I'm going to ask for it. It's going to give it to me. And then we'll say EA, get the event, my event, and subscribe. And whenever we hear this event, let's use handled, for example. And then, of course, we get the payload, which in this case is a string. We'll set the title to just that, make it quick and easy. All right. Sorcery is working right now. Okay. So let's go ahead and navigate to our B here. So, boom, we just sent a message. And as many subscribers we have just received that message. And in this case, it was the main page. Hello. Okay, and just so you know, that goes across project heads. So I can send a message from my iOS project into my PCL project, or my Android project into the PCL project, to the Xamarin Forms PCL project. So you're not limited to barriers, okay? You don't have any barriers here. It's just an event-based system, very easy. There's a lot more. There's a ton more features with Prism that just makes your life easier. As you can see, you can write an MVVM, 100% MVVM Xamarin Forms application, no problem now. With the project templates, file new project, new item templates, you know, it really helps speed up your development. Like I said, it is open source, so join the community, submit issues, let me know what you find. Right now it's in preview 4, but once I get home or get to the hotel tonight and get the newest bits from Xamarin, I'll try to get a push out tomorrow or so. So if you want to play with it now, when you add your NuGet, just make sure you click Show Preview, okay? The Show Preview, and then you'll see Preview 4 there, 6.2-Preview 4. And then you can play with it. Submit PRs. Submit ideas. This is yours. This is for you, right? I think it's badass, personally. But, you know, you might not think so. And tell me why. Let's make it for the words useful for everyone. So I got 4 minutes and 40 seconds for questions. Yes. Okay, so we don't really deal with, it was behind. Go again. Okay, so right now, I don't do anything with page lifecycle events. You get on navigated to and on navigated from. Okay, I don't care about appearing. I don't care about on disappearing. If you care about that stuff, you can handle that in application code unless that's a common problem. Then we can discuss it as an issue. Find the gap, find where we can help it, and if there's a problem there, we can solve it. But for now, we don't do anything with it.
One last stuff. So if you have a page that you don't want to be in the navigation stack, can you just register it in the ticket?
Can you put it closer to your...
If you have a page that you don't want it to be in the navigation stack, like no history and stuff like that, can you just not register it and it will not be in the stack?
You have... So right now, we don't handle not adding something to the stack because that's kind of like you're taking, because I'm just working with the Xamarin Forms stack. I'm not doing anything special. I'm working with that stack directly. So if Xamarin Forms, in order to do that, you would basically navigate past it, then remove it, right? That's what you're saying? That's essentially what you have to do in Xamarin Forms. Yeah, so there's no mechanism for that. Like I said, for login page, you would just do an absolute URI and get back where you want. That's the easiest way, because otherwise, you're navigating past, then you're going to have to go back, find the index of the page you want to remove from the Xamarin Form stack, and then remove it from the stack. So, and yeah, this is all about more about user flow, application flow. I would use an absolute URI for that if you didn't want that. And I know in the sample, you saw it navigate each time. There's an override parameter, optional parameter called animated. Set that to false on deep links, and it will not navigate the whole stack. I just had it navigate so you could see it work. But yeah, so I would use an absolute for that scenario. Okay. I can't really see. I got lights in my face. No problem. So the navigation service is quite smart. If it detects you're navigating to a navigation page, everything from there on will be async, because it doesn't make sense to navigate to a navigation page and then not navigate async. If you're not in a navigation page, it's modal. And if you don't get the behavior you want, there is a parameter override for is modal navigation. Set that to true or false. But yeah, the navigation service is smart. It inspects where you're going and tries to be smart about, okay, he's going to a master detail, so I got to set the detail page. He's not going modal here. But if you say, no, I want to go modal from a master detail, you would have to turn that flag on, and then it would go modally. So you have control. It just depends on the situation. I have a minute and 20 seconds. I have time for one more question.
Where are the docs and how good are they?
Okay, the docs are actually pretty decent. I've been doing a lot of feature work, but the docs are on the GitHub site. What? I am connected right here. Look at this, hardwired, not working. I'm hardwired in. It's just on the GitHub site. In the repo, it says docs, and they're quite decent. There's a lot of docs. There's a couple sections that need to be fixed because I've changed a lot since since the navigation service matured. There's docs, and I'm working on samples, but I'm just one guy, so my time's kind of stretched. So if anyone wants to help with docs or samples, hit me up on GitHub. I'd love to have your contribution. So, okay, 33 seconds for a quick one.
Is it possible to pass a message to a background process?
To a what?
Is it possible to pass a message using the messaging system to a background process?
Well, I don't know if I've tried that, but with the event aggregator, you can subscribe. Like if I publish an event from a background, I can subscribe to that background. I can say what thread I want to listen for the event on. Yeah.
The application
domain is different. Yeah, I'm not sure about it. I've never actually had to do that. Okay, yeah, so apparently there's no good solution for that. Okay, that's my time. I'm actually going to get my stuff together. I'm going to walk down, and I have the rest of the day to talk to you guys and answer questions and give demos. So I'll be heading right out.